Dementia. It's a growing concern in Australia. Right now, there's an estimated 400,000 people living with the condition. That's right, 400,000. This number projected to reach more than 500,000 by 2030. That's not that far away. So around 400,000 living with the condition now, and the number projected to reach more than 500,000 by 2030. Now, that's sparked a new program aimed at building a dementia-free Australia. Alzheimer's Australia, the peak body for people with dementia and for their families and carers, is establishing a national dementia-friendly communities program which will help promote greater understanding and inclusion for people with dementia. Now, first up on the program tonight is a World Dementia Council member, University of Wollongong PhD candidate, Dementia Alliance International Chair, CEO and co-founder, and Alzheimer's Australia Dementia Advisory Committee Chair, and she's also living with younger onset dementia. Kate Swaffer is involved in the Kiama Dementia Friendly Pilot Program in New South Wales and joins Staying Well tonight. Thanks for being a part of it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, many people don't realise that dementia can actually affect people earlier in their life. Tell us about your experience being diagnosed with younger onset dementia.
Well, even I didn't understand that younger people got it. I'd ironically been a nurse in Adelaide's first dedicated dementia unit in 1977 and had no idea that younger people would get a diagnosis of dementia. So to be diagnosed at the age of 49 was, to put it mildly, an absolute bolt out of the blue and, you know, was a shocking surprise, I guess, because I'd been having tests and hadn't even really realised I was being tested for dementia.
So what were your early signs? What were the problems that you were speaking with your GP about before you got the tests?
Well, interestingly, I wasn't speaking to my GP. I was speaking to a neurologist because I was under one for another brain condition that needed surgery.
Right.
So I didn't have to go through a GP to get referred, which is actually unusual. But my first symptoms were, I mean, the myth about dementia is that it's always about memory loss. And I certainly didn't have memory loss to begin with. I had symptoms of dyslexia, which I'd never had before.
Right. So what changes did you actually go through before you started to, before you got diagnosed?
Well, I'd started in about 2006, I'd started seeing numbers back to front and colours set back to front, and not being able to spell really simple words like that or work out the different uses of the different spellings of words like there, and there.
Right.
And I'd been very good at maths and I'd been very good at English, so to suddenly not be able to spell that was, to start with, just a little bit kind of confusing, because I didn't even think that it was going to be dementia. I guess, like the rest of the community, I thought that dementia equals memory loss. And for many types of dementia, it doesn't start with memory loss. Well, I've got memory loss now, some short term and some long term, which is unlike Alzheimer's, it's mostly short term memory loss. So I think that the public don't understand, and I didn't understand, even though I'd worked in dementia, that people of any age can have dementia. And I know someone as young as 22 with a diagnosis of dementia.
22.
22. And, you know, I can't even imagine. My sons are 26 and 27. I can't imagine as a parent if I was told my son had dementia. But similarly, my sons, who were 16 and 17 or 17 and 18, I can't remember now the age they were, they didn't expect their mum to have dementia. I mean, my youngest son said to me, "But mum, isn't that a funny old person's disease?"
Yes.
And we kind of laughed, even though it wasn't very funny. So all of the books and all of the things back then available for younger people where there was dementia in the family, and still I haven't been able to find any books where it's mum or mummy who's got dementia. It's always grandma or grandpa.
Wow.
So there's very little services for young people where they've got a parent who's younger with dementia.
So how have you adapted to actually maintain your independence?
Well, I guess the really lucky thing for me was that I was a mature age student at university. And I don't know if you've got children, and I'm sure some of your listeners will have children with disabilities. They aren't told not to go to school, and they're not told not to go to university just because they've got disabilities. They've got all sorts of disability services and supports to help them get through the things they want to do in their own life. So being at university for me was perhaps my lucky draw card, if you like. I had to give up work because I failed my driving test, and at the time I was working in healthcare sales and I needed to have a driver's license to drive. Nobody told me back then that actually I had a legal right to reasonable adjustments to remain employed. So I didn't even think about staying employed. I just stopped working, but I decided that maybe I should keep studying. I'm a believer of the neuroplasticity, you know, creating new pathways in your brain type philosophy, and it's now evidence-based theory. It's not just anecdotal evidence that supports that. So when I talked to one of the university lecturers, and being older myself, the lecturers were my age, over a cup of coffee, I said, do you think I need to give up university? I've been told it would be too stressful, it would be bad for me. And they kind of looked at me like I was a bit silly and said, well, you're not end-stage dementia yet.
Yes.
Your symptoms are causing you some significant disabilities. Why don't we just refer you to the disability services and then you can keep living Kate Swoffer's life? So that's basically how I was taught to see it differently.
Yeah. It's glass half full, isn't it, really?
It is. But also, if we think about it realistically, if I'd had a stroke age 49,
yes,
or a serious road accident, even with some brain injury, I wouldn't have been told to go home and give up and get acquainted with aged care and get my end-of-life affairs in order, which is what I was told. Yeah. I would have been told to have rehab and to get disability support for anything that needed it.
Yes,
and to keep living my life. So we have a human right, and I work globally now in the human rights space for people with dementia, because we have a human right to rehabilitation and to disability support, the same as you would.
The government recently awarded Alzheimer's Australia, I think it was $3.9 million to develop the Dementia Friendly Communities program, which you're actually involved in. Why is it important for a person living with dementia, this program?
Well, I think that the Dementia Friendly Communities project initiatives all around the world are hugely important in that they've been a positive starting place for the way people see dementia in the community. There's been a fabulous platform for raising awareness. The Kiama Project, which is the only project in the world that's been recognised by the World Health Organization, and that was just very recently, they are probably the only ones in the world who are actively involving people with dementia and their families and friends in the initiative.
Right. So what sort of activities does the actual program involve?
Well, the program has involved a group of business people and healthcare professionals and others in the community of Kiama and the surrounding area of the southern Illawarra region. And it's been a three-way pilot project with the University of Wollongong, the National Office of Alzheimer's Australia and the Kiama Municipal Council. And the first few months that they were trying to get that project off the ground and get people involved, they really did have some trouble engaging with people with dementia. And then the previous CEO of Alzheimer's Australia decided to employ somebody with dementia specifically to work on that and the other dementia friendly community projects around Australia. And that person happened to be me, so I had a 6-month contract with them to help get that project up on the road. And I think the best analogy that I can use is if we were setting up an LGBTIQ friendly community,
yes,
or an Aboriginal friendly community, would we not have those people from those groups at the centre of that work?
Yes, only makes sense, doesn't it?
Of course we would.
And so, hence,
hence, we must have people with dementia at the centre of this work. Otherwise, who's it benefiting?
Yes, that's right. I bet the people of Kiama are very proud of this project.
Well, I'm incredibly proud to have been part of the project. I'm an honorary member of the what they lovingly call themselves the DAGS, which is the Southern Dementia Advisory Group, which is a group led by people with dementia with support of their family care partners. And they inform every single aspect of that project, including education of the community.
Right. I think that's wonderful. So where can we go for more information? Where can we find out some more about this?
Well, more information about the Dementia Friendly Communities Project. There is an Illawarra Dementia Friendly Community website. There is also a Dementia Advisory Group website specific to that region. Alzheimer's Australia, of course, have Dementia Friendly resources and a toolkit on their website. The group that I'm chair and CEO of and a co-founder of, Dementia Alliance International, we're strong supporters of that project and often engage with them to support them. And we're a group of, well, now more than 2,500 people with dementia from 38 countries around the world who are, you know, strongly into self-advocacy and helping to change the perceptions and get rid of the myths of dementia.
Yeah, good on you, Kate. That's fantastic. You're really, you know... It's really, as I say, glass half full. You're really doing amazing work. Kate Swaffer, involved in the Kiama Dementia Friendly Pilot Project in New South Wales. Thank you for your time on Staying Well tonight, all right?
Thanks so much.
No problem. And if you want to more information too, generally, yourbrainmatters.org.au or National Dementia Helpline 1800 100 500. So yourbrainmatters.org.au or National Dementia Helpline 1800 100 500. Or you can go to fightdementia.org.au.